Joined now in studio by Alexi Lalas, soccer analyst for Fox Sports. Of course, he's here for the MLS Cup. We've got a pair of MLS Cup tickets to give away, by the way. And we're going to do that now. But you're going to have to play a little Alexi Lalas trivia in order to get these two tickets.
Oh, so, you're not eligible, Alexi.
Yeah, so we're going to take the sixth caller through at 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. If there's any way I could go here, I got to get something that's going to make people. I got to get something that's going to make people think. I'll ask you, Alexi.
You ask me? Okay.
Yeah, something that's kind of easy, okay. You know, that people are... might be able to Google, but...
We might be able to Google. So we're in 2017. So in 2015, I released an album, okay?
Okay.
The name of that album, if you can come up with the name of that album, how about that?
That's good. So we'll take the sixth caller through at 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. The name of the album...
It's very clever promotion of the album.
That was very... I
think that's very, very clever.
That was outstanding. The name of the album released in 2015 by Alexi Lalas. I can just see people typing away right now.
Thumbs are moving.
All the thumbs are moving right now. Thanks very much for joining us in the studio.
Thank you.
Today.
Big weekend.
It's big weekend. You know, we were talking about this a little bit earlier in the show. And I mean, you know Toronto FC's history. And I was making the point that Toronto FC wins this match. I mean... Jurgen Klinsmann, the bloody big deal,
right.
You know, losing last year, the loss in the Meadowlands, which is one of the worst things I've ever covered. That's all. Okay, that's gone. That's gone. And yep. But man, if they lose, Chicago Cubs, here we come.
It will be brutal. And that's why it's difficult for Toronto, because Seattle has absolutely no pressure. And it's such a small margin. And yet, if Toronto wins... For my money, they're the best team in MLS history. For right. What they've done through the regular season, we all know that only six teams have actually won the Supporter Shield and then gone on to win MLS Cup. So it's very, very difficult. Sometimes you don't always parlay it into a success. And if they were to do it with what they did in the regular season and then to go through the playoffs and then to win it, they, for my money, are the best team in MLS history. And it's arguable and all that kind of stuff. But if they don't, oh, man.
Two years in a row.
Yeah.
In your own home stadium. So I think there's much more pressure on Toronto than Seattle. So,
tell me it's going to be a little prettier than last year.
Hey, look, one shot and we're already off to the races, okay? I mean, if there's just a shot. I mean, I don't even care about goals. Just a shot here and there, guys. How about that? I mean, it was, thank God for Stefan Fry in that save, because at least he gave us one little moment of incredible history. But we won some goals. I mean, we won some goals. And maybe I think it plays into a more entertaining game because of what happened last year.
Right.
There's almost this weird sense that I get if you're a player or you're a team that you don't want to do that again.
Yeah. And so, Alex Bono kind of told me he hopes that the first save he has to make on Saturday isn't in penalties.
Right, exactly.
Wouldn't mind one. Just
exactly.
One.
And Seattle has also got Clint Dempsey, who, while he is an MLS Cup champion last year, he had that heart problem. And so I think there's added incentive for him to actually be on the field to try to help win a cup too. So there's all sorts of stories.
Alex, you talked about this potentially being the best side in the history of the league. And I want to talk a little bit big picture about the league as we go on here. Because I we've been following it and covering it for a long time. And I go back to the 94 World Cup, you know, that spawned it. But where does Giovinco rank among the players that have come into this league?
I think one of the great signings, probably not the greatest, but one of the great, and I think he is unique in that he represents a team, an MLS team going out and not getting an older player and an established player. I mean, we knew who he was, but he wasn't established, but it was a guy in his prime. We've seen it happen now in Atlanta, not to the Giovinco level, but certainly a recognition that you don't have to, you can spend a lot of money, but you don't necessarily have to spend it on that big name. We'll still be big names. So I think that's where his unique piece of history, of MLS history is that's when it started to change hearts and minds about how you spend your money and on who you spend it.
Rather than the a guy who's with a bigger name but is on his last legs, right?
Those guys. Exactly.
Are there more guys? Is that a niche? Can they mine that a little more? There are more Giovincos out there?
I think so. But, you know, it's also about changing the perception, both the perception of that player and then the from that player of where he's going, but then the perception from the outside that you're not going to a retirement league, that you're not going to suffer. You know, I think Giovinco is a better soccer player than when he got here for the experience he has. Now, there were people around the world and certainly in Italy that say, no, it's hurt him in terms of his development. But the challenges that you face in MLS, both on and off the field, are different and unique. Some are better, some are worse. But I think changing that perception is what is important going forward for MLS, that you can go, you can make a lot of money, you can have a wonderful time, you can get better as a soccer player, and you're not going to tarnish your reputation or have that perception be that you're not worthy of a national team call-up or mm-hmm. being looked at as a great player.
You talk about some of the storylines here. I mean, one of them from a local storyline as well, in addition to revenge for losing last year, Michael Bradley, Josie Altidore, not the greatest season for them in terms of the U.S. men's team. Chance for a little bit of redemption, maybe take a little bit of the sting, out of that. You know, for those of us who live north of the border, I made this point with Steven earlier. One of the things that tells me that soccer has arrived is how upset people were when the U.S. men's team didn't make the World Cup.
Yep.
I mean, and it's arrived in Canada too, because we just get, there are people who go, God, we wish we were good enough to be disappointed in not making the World Cup. But tell us, when did that expectation kick in? Like, when did U.S. soccer fans start to think, okay, this is, not going to the World Cup. God, this is awful.
I don't think that the realization and the understanding of not just how monumental and seminal of a moment it was, but the ripple effect. And so when things started to ripple and affect things that you hadn't anticipated out there, that's where I think it got serious. And look, Michael and Josie, they're big boys. Mm-hmm. All right. They can handle it. The booing, I have no problem with the booing that happens. It's a visceral response to what we are admittedly saying was a disaster and a failure and a disappointment by the players and by the coach in terms of what they did. Now, the other stuff, the FU and all that kind of stuff, I don't like that because it lacks wit. It lacks type of, it's not clever, all right? But you can rain down, all the boos that you want and let them know that it's unacceptable. That would happen in any country, and that's okay. It's interesting to see how they are viewed north of the border.
They've been welcome.
Exactly.
They're our guys now.
It really is amazing. And what's also amazing over the last week, talking to people down in the States, the amount of people that I have talked to that want Seattle to win, specifically because some sort of punitive type of response, that they don't want Toronto to win, not because they don't like Toronto, not because they don't appreciate how good they are, but because they don't want Josie and Michael Bradley to experience success, because that is, in their mind, giving them something that they don't deserve because of the U.S. men's national team failure, which is amazing. It's human. I totally get it. I understand.
But that wouldn't
it.
Have been the case 10 years ago, would
no,
it? There wouldn't
no.
be that
There's
visceral
a, there, reaction. There is a change. There is a reckoning. There is a niche or underground type of soccer army has come above ground, and it's discerning. It's passionate. It understands what it wants both on and off the field, and it demands better.
Alex, step back. You've been involved with this league, on a whole bunch of different levels, right? And we've watched the entire history of a league started from scratch out of the World Cup, the single ownership entity, the whole, the memory of the old NASL out there somewhere, the wither soccer in America question, all of that stuff. When you look at the league now, and remember, we're looking at it from the perspective of a market where the team on the field is crappy for a great chunk of its history, but it's been a hugely successful and has been part of the landscape here since the first game. It fit right in, but when I look at like a place like Atlanta, for instance, that tells me that maturity might be the wrong word, but that this league has kind of it's gone through all these different phases. We talked about the Beckham thing. You were right there when that happened. That was incredibly important for the league on a lot of levels. But this is kind of a mature league now, isn't it?
It is, both on and off the field. I think it is matured and evolved. Still got a long way to go. But when I started first working in the front offices after my career, I was working with a wonderful guy at AEG, the Anschutz Entertainment Group, named Sean Hunter, and he constantly stressed relevancy. Be relevant in your market, be relevant in your country, be relevant in your region. And I think when you look at something like TFC or Atlanta right now, and you go to these markets, they are relevant. People talk about them in the same way that they talk about other teams. They don't look at it as any different type of level. It is part of their sports landscape. Whether it's media or just people at the bar or just in general, they own the colors oftentimes. You go down to Atlanta and that purple that's running around. I'm sorry, you go down to Orlando and that purple that they have. All of these different things, the brands are part of the fabric of these communities. It is a billionaires league now. I mean, this is deep pocket when it comes to ownership, especially now we'll talk about expansion with the amount of money that we're talking about. So all those things are good, but the inevitable compare and contrast that we've had since 1996 when we started is going to continue, and it's fair and it's right. And we're starting more and more, when that compare and contrast with other leagues and other countries in terms of their culture happens, to start to live up. We still got a long way to go, and people are going to take shots, and that's just kind of the way it is.
Now, you're going to be part of Fox's 2018 World Cup coverage, and Fox is home of the 2018 World Cup. Stephen and I made this point a little early in the show as well. You know, in addition to people being upset that their national team isn't in the World Cup anymore, there's also a culture around talking soccer and talking MLS. Like, you guys do it a lot, obviously, in Fox. When did that sort of pop culture aspect, or, you know, we can have a discussion about MLS happen? Was it before Beckham, or did Beckham kind of just galvanize everything?
I mean, Beckham certainly helped, but I think it's two things. It's one, the internet. When I talk about this army coming above ground, below ground, we were all, you know, on the chat boards and the blogs and the different things.
Watching Soccer Made in Germany and all that stuff.
All that kind of stuff, I think, is crucial to the way that people look at the sport. And the way they look themselves relative to the sport around the world. Also, and this is a strange thing, but, you know, the FIFA game has raised a generation, now multiple generations, and has exposed multiple generations to soccer and to teams and to players that normally they wouldn't. So I think all of that kind of happened at the same time and exploded in a generation that, once again, saw soccer as part of their sports landscape, and I think really dug it because it enabled them to be part of something that is being played around the world. And that international aspect of it, I think, is very, very appealing, especially to a younger generation that, while you certainly are proud of whatever, if it's Canada, if it's the United States, whatever, you also recognize that this sport brings everybody together, is that common language, and you want to be a part of it.
You know, the one thing, I guess, the one step that hasn't happened here, even... I mean, you can speak to whether this is, and maybe this is part of the deal with MLS, but there's an intense conversation around the local side here.
Mm-hmm.
Sebastian Giovinco is a star in this town, along with hockey stars or baseball stars. And people watch the international game. They can talk about the Premiership. They can talk about Champions League and obviously World Cup or Euros or that. But they don't talk about the league, right? There's not really an MLS conversation in this town. And Jeff, you'd agree with that, right? Like, I know there's some people who are conversant in other teams they certainly would know stars.
It's generally from when Landon was playing, there was a wider MLS conversation. It was detested here.
Yeah, but not so much. Yeah, but that's one guy, right?
Yeah,
and it's
I suppose,
the way you would talk in that sense, not the way you would talk about the NFL, not the way you would talk about Major League Baseball. Or the
not
NBA.
Yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Right.
That hasn't happened here yet.
It hasn't, but there will be some that would argue that's actually a good thing in that you're not supporting your league anymore. You're supporting your team. And that can be viewed as a good thing. But I get what you're saying relative to football, where, and actually from a television perspective, it's something that we have to deal with. And baseball deals with it from a regional perspective because they don't have that national footprint where everybody tunes in, even though they might not be fans of that team. They just want to watch that game. We want to make sure, we're doing national games. We want to make sure that even if it's not in your market or not your team that you want to turn in, and it's up to us to make sure that we highlight it and then we make sure that the marketing is around it and that we promote the personalities on and off the field and the good play that's going on. But I think it's just a natural type of evolution and the fact that people like their team more than they may talk or like about the league, I don't think that's necessarily detrimental.
I want to congratulate our winners, Brian Graham in Oakville, Ruben Botteo in Brampton, who's a big Benfica and Man United fan. I don't know why you had to tell me that. He had the name right, Ginger.
Oh, did he? No, he's wrong. He's wrong.
What was it?
He's wrong. It's called Shots, and it was out in 2015.
There we go.
There was an album called Ginger, and he does get points for coming up with that, too.
Shots in 2015.
There
you
we go.
Give him the tickets,
give it
Travis?
To him anyway. Give it to him anyway. It's good. It's good. There's so many albums. I can't keep track of them all.
The We just got a couple of minutes left, Alexi. I did want to ask you, first half Saturday, what will tell us that TFC's in trouble? What will tell us that they're doing okay?
I think it's actually for both sides to a certain extent. If we remember last year, the main stars, whether it's Giovinco on one side and Lodero on the other, they didn't really show up. They didn't have good games, either of them individually. So I'm really interested to see how that change. If Giovinco is on fire and he's getting the ball and he's getting opportunities quickly, that bodes well, because that is very, very different than what we saw what we saw last year. So I just think him being involved, him being a factor in the most important game. And look, you get paid all the money. You're a big star. All right. Everybody's talking about you. You got to bring it. You got to bring it in the most important moment. And that's why the pressure is on him. It's on Greg Vanney. It's on this team. But if they live up to that pressure, then they live up to that star billing. And as I said before, if they live up to that pressure, for my money, they become the greatest MLS team in history.
Alexi, it was great of you to join us. We really appreciate this. I know we've spoken on the phone in the past. We had you in primetime sports as well. Again, Alexi will be part of the Fox World Cup telecast in 2018.
Yeah, we are. We're going to Russia. It's going to be fun.
Be careful, my friend.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Say,
oh, you'll be.
It's going to be fine.
It's probably not the testiest place you've been.
Nah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. I mean, it's going to be a fun, 10 years or 2026. If that all works out, we'll all be kumbaya. And,
yeah, that's right.
Who do Americans cheer for?
In the World Cup?
Yeah.
That'll be very interesting. I think we maybe more so than any country have the ability to adapt to not having the home team, because it's not a question of whether there's soccer fans in the United States. We just sometimes say there's not enough American soccer fans in the United States. So I think they'll all have their affinity, whether it's, because of nationality, history, or anything like that. Yeah. I think they'll look to, an Iceland or something like that as an underdog type of thing, or they'll go, a Belgium or a France or something like that. And then, cheer against England and that kind of stuff.
And Mexico would be kind of...
No, I mean, look, Mexico is our team right now from a Fox perspective, and we want them to do well, but there's always going to be that rivalry. It's a good thing.